upfront, personal, firsthand information as to what that life looks like. And I will tell you, in many respects, it is very thankless. There is a lot of effort that goes into preparing a teaching every Sunday. And our pastor goes a step further most Sundays and prepares worship. And there is a lot. And then we have Pastor Michelle, who is just wildly, you really don't totally know, but she is wildly behind the scenes running so much to keep this flowing. And so as we go into October, please find somewhere in that month, find somewhere to appreciate your pastor. Be it a card, a hug, a note written in crayon that you colored yourself, whatever it is, find time somewhere to thank our pastor for all that they do, for the sacrifice to be the shepherd to this flock. And past that, I think I did everything else. The last thing on the list now is Joe's introduction. I don't have that fancy, you know, list of things that Keith has. That's okay. I think most of you know Pastor Joe at this point. He has come to join us. He's been a pastor for many years. He does operate in the prophetic. There is a prophetic gift that's on his life that he's able to function in, among some others. He actually does have giftings, for those of you who don't know it. And we are so thankful. He was he left his pastorship and felt led to come here to be part of our group here in Yadkinville, North Carolina. And it's a huge gift, it really is, to our church, to our leadership. He has been a great aid coming to support our pastor. He's done it himself. He knows what that battlefield looks like. And so it's been great for Keith and Michelle to be able to glean off of that gifting as well. So with that, Brother Joe, if you will, come give us what God has put in you for this morning. And if you guys will, please welcome him as we honor Brother Joe.
Test 1, 2, 3. I haven't even started. I'm getting critiqued. I mean, it's been an interesting little season here. Last week, I was in New Mexico, and I have a good friend there. His name's Bill Murchison. Used to be on the PGA Tour, pro golfer. And Bill gave all that up and became a pastor. He's planted 4 or 5 churches around the nation. And they really tried for years and years and years in New Mexico and planted a church there. But the governor of New Mexico and all the local authorities have decided they don't like churches. So they send people into their service with a measuring tape to see if they're sitting 6 feet apart. They're doing everything they can to shut them down. So the entire church said, that's it. They all moved to North Georgia. They all moved to North Georgia. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And so it's a lot of fun. But when I'm with Bill, he and I are very involved with ministering in the Philippines. And so when we minister in the Philippines, it means we're doing everything online now, of course, which is so good because I don't have to travel for, 80 hours. And last week, the Philippine pastors asked us, after all the teaching and services with their people, could they talk to us privately? And so we got online with them, and what's going on is COVID in the mountains of the Philippines is so severe. Hundreds and thousands of people are dying, but then the government makes them take a vaccine, which they're getting from China, and like 80% of the people who get the vaccine have died. And so the pastors are talking to us online, and they don't know what to do, and they're weeping because it's not just their churches, whole villages are gone. And so there's some things going on behind the scenes in the big picture of things The pastors are trying to decide what to do if they're going to take their congregations and flee into the mountains to escape what's going on there. And so there's a lot going on in the world. The Lord gave Karen a little word a few minutes ago. She felt like the Lord was going to give us spiritual, she called them night goggles. I don't think that's the military term. Yeah, NVGs, thank you. What's that stand for? Night vision goggles, so we could see into the darkness and discern what's going on. So there's a lot going on. So on Thursday, I got a phone call. 3 weeks ago, I was ministering in Indianapolis, a great church, and it's called River Church. Wonderful people. I've known them forever. And we had dinner at a lady's house. She's one of the elders' wives. Sweet, sweet lady. She reminded me so much of Kathy, that gift of hospitality and just making you feel welcome in her home. So while I was in her house, I looked at her and the Lord spoke to me about her, and I got a picture of her caught up in the presence of worship and the glory of God all over her and the joy of the Lord in her on a level I can't even speak. On Friday, she died from COVID. And she's caught up in the presence of the Lord, experiencing glory. I literally saw her as it were in her resurrection body in that prophetic word. So if I give you a word today, you might want to pay attention. That was a great word, Daryl. That was a good word. And let's give our worship leader a hand. I'm always leery of worship leaders that got kicked out of heaven first. That's good stuff. Write that down, Dan. Write that down. You pay attention. Kathy said you need help today. Pay attention. So a few months ago, I was praying one morning, and the Lord spoke to me and said he wanted me to prepare a message on caves. Caves. I'm like, caves? And so I started, believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about caves. And so we're going to look at Elijah in his cave. We're going to look at Lazarus. He was in a tomb or a cave, wasn't he? We're going to look at Jesus. They put him in a cave, in a tomb. And we'll see if we get through them all. But we're going to learn cave lessons today. You could call this my Yogi Bear message, dealing with the boo-boos of life. For those of you that remember Yogi Bear, okay. Smarter than who? You can't say it like that. Smarter than who? Oh, there you go. And so I think you'll enjoy it. It's an interesting study. I love to study Elijah. I've been studying Elijah my whole life, every aspect of his life. I've read lots and lots of books about Elijah. And he's just one of the most incredible men that you can find in the Bible. But there's a verse in the New Testament, James 5:17. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He struggled with the things we struggle with. He did. He struggled with depression. He had incredible victories. And God used him in ways you can't really read anybody else being used quite like him in all the scripture, right? So Elijah's just is an absolutely incredible guy. And so I want us to look at the life of Elijah for a little while. You know, Proverbs 18:1 says, he that separates himself seeks his own desire and quarrels against sound wisdom. So when I think about caves, I think about a man cave. In Orlando, I had a den in my house, and it was my room. It was my man cave, and it was awesome. It was awesome. The only person allowed in there was Chuck Norris, my cat. But I had my giant screen TV for watching sports. I had my big leather couch that would fold up electrically, so I had to do no work. I had a great place to read. I mean, it was awesome. So what would you put in your cave? If you created a cave, what would you put in it? You know, some people pull back into caves because they want to escape. Because one of the things that happens with people is they like to get isolated, don't they? People get wounded, they get hurt. What do? They pull back. So some people are so emotionally traumatized from things that have happened to them in their life, they literally live in a cave, and woe unto the person who goes in that cave. Some people enjoy cave living so much they moved in and decorated it. Ladies would always find chocolate in their cave. Yes, I'm just saying, right? So cave living. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So I've been thinking about cave schemes, and here's the ones I came up with. Isolation. Obviously, death is one. Self-pity could be one. It's a place to hide. Sometimes people are hiding sin. People hide in caves. Sometimes people are emotionally wounded and they pull back into a cave out of self-protection. So caves are just interesting. So I want us to go in the scripture to 1 Kings 19. Let's read about Elijah. Now, as we get into the scriptures this morning, we don't have time to read the whole story. But remember that there had been a drought for 3.5 years. Why was there a drought for 3.5 years? Who called the drought? Elijah. Now, I don't know if you've ever lived through a drought, but it's one of the most horrendous things you could ever go through. Things literally dry up. 3.5 years with no rain. 3.5 years. So Elijah's living in the middle of this drought, and then we have this famous lady in the Bible, Miss Jezebel. Mrs. Jezebel, actually. And so he's contending with Jezebel, and the king hates Elijah, so the authorities are after Elijah. He's in constant conflict. Jezebel was out killing the prophets of God that she could find. So in addition to everything else, Elijah is living in fear of his life. And Elijah is hiding and living in caves. Now, I don't know if you would notice this, but there are no 7-Elevens in the caves. So many of his friends have died. Many prophets have died. 3.5 years of drought. And if the king could get his hands on him, he'd kill him. Other than that, he's having a great day. So Elijah, after all of this warfare and all of this stuff that he's going through in his life, and you go through things also, don't you? We go through things. We go through warfare. We go through droughts. We go through hardships. We go through all kinds of stuff in this life, don't we? In this world, you will have trials and tribulations. The issue is not whether or not you're going to have them. The issue is, are you going to go through them and come out on the other side victorious? 1 Kings 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he'd killed all the prophets. How many prophets was that? Prophets of Baal? 450. Think about that for a minute. How's that for some spiritual warfare? He killed him with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And he was afraid. How could he be afraid? He called down the fire from heaven. Anybody else in the Bible ever call down fire from heaven? He just slaughtered all the false prophets, right? This man is operating on a level of courage. Unbelievable. It just proves that women are powerful. I'm just saying that. I just want to say that. Okay. So he's afraid of this woman. He arose and ran for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, left his servant there, and he went himself a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and sat down under a juniper tree. Another word for that is a broom tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life. I'm not better than my father's. It's enough. You ever been at that point in your life before? You ever just gone, you know what, that's enough. At work, at home, in marriage, in families, you just kind of reach that point where you just can't breathe, and it's enough. But he's talking to the Lord and saying, it's enough. And he's asking the Lord to take him. Did the Lord answer his prayer? Did shortly thereafter, did he get caught up? Something to think about. Be careful what you pray. Right? It's enough. Let's keep reading. 1 Kings 19:5. He lay down and slept under the broom tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked of hot stones, a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great. So he rose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of the Lord. I want you to really look at some things here. He was fed with supernatural food. He was fed the manna. I'm telling you, the Word of God is described as the bread of life, is it not? And you better understand how to get the bread and how to get it in you for the times that you go through your own drought. You better have the Word of God in you, and it better be full, and it better be rich, and you better know how to get the Word of the Lord, because without the Word of the Lord, your marriage isn't going to make it, your family's not going to make it, your business is not going to make it, because we're in for some interesting times as we go into the last days. And you need to learn how to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and you cannot live on stale bread. You need a fresh living word from God to make it through the wilderness of some of the times that we're going to be living through. You got to connect. And so it said that the journey is too great for him. Some of the things that the people in the Philippines are dealing with today, I've never even fathomed thinking about having to go through. Do they submit to the authorities and take the Chinese shot? What do they do? And some of these pastors have been through so much. Literally, one of them said on the phone, not knowing I was teaching this, he said, I feel like Elijah. I feel like it's enough. People in the world are going through some stuff.